Misakzos Prag Anif Mishnah Basin Full Prag Anif Mishnah Tesvov. Hillel the Shammai Kiblu Mehem. Hillel and Shammai received the Torah from the previous Peh, Shammai and Avtalyain. And Shammai and Hillel were actually the last set of Zugais, the last of the pairs of the Nosi and the Avbeistin, the head of the Sanhedrin and the deputy head. And already after the times of Hillel and Shammai, as we're going to see, the Torah was passed down by individuals. It could be there were many individuals in the same generation, but the period of Zugais ended with Hillel and Shammai. Now, the Maharal notes a very interesting theme going on in this perek through the teachings of the Zugais. So far, we've had four pairs. Hillel and Shammai are the fifth of the Zugais. And the first pair, Yosef ben Ezra and Yosef ben Yochanan, they both talked about somebody's house. Your own home should be open to the poor, it should be open to hosting Talmidei Chachamim, speaking about one's immediate surroundings and his home. The next Zug, the next pair, Yosef ben Parachi and Itai HaRbeili, they talked about who somebody's friends should be, and his Rebbe as teacher, and about distancing oneself from bad neighbors. So we're going further out. We started off at the home. The next pair, the next Zug, talked about one's friends, who he's close to. The next Zug, Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, they talked about judges. So these are people who make sure that the day-to-day activities of people in the society don't go wrong, and they keep things in order. The regular person doesn't have any connection with the judges, but the judges are involved. But it's definitely further out than one's friends. And the fourth Zug, Shammai and Avtalyain, they spoke about people who are very high up. The government, people who have high positions, the big Talmidei Chachamim, how they need to be careful about their words because of the masses of people who will listen to them. These positions of very high people, they're even further away from the regular person. So constantly going outwards. And now as we come to the final pair, Hillel and Shammai, we're going to see that they're going to talk about bringing all of that together. Hillel talks about peace, shalom. That it no longer matters who we're talking about. Is it going to be somebody who lives in the home who's extremely close to you, or somebody who you have far less of a connection with? Shalom, the idea of peace, is to bring all of that together and to leave behind those categories to create a far greater reality of everybody together. And we're going to see Shammai also speaks about greeting everybody in a pleasant way. Be as it may, Hillel Omer, Hillel says, Hevim Talmidei Shel Aaron, you should be like the students of Aaron HaKohen. What's involved in that? Oyev Shalom, you should be somebody who loves peace. For yourself, you should try and be in a state of harmony and have a good relationship with everybody. V'roidev Shalom, and you should chase after peace, which means that you should try and make sure that everybody else also has peace between each other, even if it doesn't directly involve yourself. Oyev Es Abrias, you should love everybody, all of the people. U'mekarven LaTorah, so you'll be able to bring them close to Torah. The best way to bring anybody closer to Hashem and to Torah is by showing them the awesome love which you have towards them, and specifically due to that love, you're trying to show them what is real in life, and to share with them the beauty of Torah. The Ovos Terubinosan, which is the Brisa, it's a collection of many statements said by Tanoim to do with all of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. So the Ovos Terubinosan over here brings the very famous practice of Aaron HaKohen, that when two people were fighting, they had an argument, so they didn't want to speak to each other. Aaron HaKohen would go on to either of them, and it would say to them, you should just know that your friend who've had an argument is so sorry about all of the situation. He regrets everything he's done, and he thinks that he's the one to blame, but he just wants to rebuild the relationship with you, and he's terribly upset that he's not at peace with you. And then you would go to the other person and say the same thing. And then eventually those two people would go and end up being friends again as a result of Aaron's sort of trick. And we're used to understanding it in quite a childish way, but it does sound a bit weird. Everybody fell for this. This wasn't something which Aaron HaKohen did once. He would do this all of the time. People really fell for his trick. What's going on here? What's the depth behind this piece of Chazal? And the Sforim explain that Aaron HaKohen was not making anything up. What the Ovos Terubinosan means is that Aaron HaKohen would show people that deep down every single Jew has a huge desire to bond and be close to every other Jew. And any argument which people have is based on small external petty things which cover up that real desire which everybody's neshama has to connect with all of the Jewish people. After all, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the neshama of every Jew is really connected, it's really one larger neshama. one soul which all of us have. And that being the case, naturally, our spiritual side yearns to connect with all of the other Jews. So Anna Cohen wasn't making up nonsense. He was expressing and really showing everybody and bringing out that love which already existed in everybody's souls. He would just bring it to the surface. Mishnah Yud Gimel. This Mishnah is said in Aramaic. Hillel lived much of his life in Bovel, where the language which they spoke there was Aramaic. However, the fact that the Mishnah itself records this teaching in Aramaic shows us just the importance of what we're about to see, that it needed to be said in the language which everybody then understood. Huy Omer, he, Hillel, would say, Negad Shema Avad Shema. When one's name is pulled forth, and he seems to be receiving a lot of glory, and he's looking for that honor, Avad Shema, his name will be lost. Like the Gemara in Erevin says, anybody who runs after honor will run away from him, whereas anybody who runs away and hides from the honor which people try to give him, the honor will run after him, and he will end up getting the true kavod, the true honor, be it in this world or in Olam Haba certainly. That's point number one. Point number two, Udlo Moisif, one who doesn't add on and increase in his Torah learning, Yosef will end up losing the Torah which he already has. An extremely scary statement which Hillel is telling us. If one has a significant break from learning Torah, then it could be he'll end up forgetting even that which he already knows, whereas if he carries on learning, Hashem will give him that extra help to remember and retain that which he is learning about. And the truth is what Hillel is saying over here is not only regarding learning Torah, but rather all areas of working on oneself. Like the Vilna Gaon in Mishle and amongst other places elaborates on an extremely fundamental idea that in this world, it's impossible to stay static. You're either growing, if you're striving and yearning for greater heights and working on yourself, then you'll be growing again further up, further higher and higher and higher. But if you're not working to grow and to increase and to improve yourself, you're not going to stay still, but you are going to go down. The way that Hashem created the world is that it has to be like that. It's a world of movement. There's too many distractions and things that Yetzer Hara is trying to get us to do that if somebody hasn't got that constant passion to grow and become better on the positive side, then the chances are that he will be brought down. Right? And thirdly, one who doesn't learn Torah when he is able to, according to his ability, is liable to death. That's what the Mishnah literally means. Torah, the Psukim say, and we say in Davening that Torah is our life, kihem chayenu. And the implication is that one who separates from Torah and he doesn't connect himself on the level that is required from him to the Torah and to the learning of the Torah, he's effectively separating himself from the source of real life. There's an incredible vort said by Rav Shmuel Volkin regarding the Gemara. The Gemara says that were it not for Yeshua ben Gamla, the Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. What did Yeshua ben Gamla do, asks the Gemara. And the Gemara says that originally the custom in the amongst the Jewish people was that every father would teach their son Torah, or everything that he knew he would pass on to his son. And they didn't learn together in schools, but that's how it worked, from generation to generation, until the Chachom saw that there were a few families who unfortunately the father had passed away young, and there were orphans. And the orphans didn't have a father to teach them Torah. And because of that, Yeshua ben Gamla decided to set up yeshivas, to set up schools, and to change the entire system of passing the Torah on to the next generation. And they instituted that it wouldn't cost, that even orphans who were poor and they couldn't afford to pay for the tuition to receive that Torah education, nevertheless it would be provided for them free of charge. And about Yeshua ben Gamla, the Gemara said, were it not for Yeshua ben Gamla, nishtakach Torah miYisrael. The Torah would have been totally forgotten, wiped out of the Klal Yisrael. What on earth is going on in this Gemara? Okay, there would be a few orphans. How many orphans already in the whole Jewish people were there? It could be a few people who could have ended up being big Talmid Chachomim, they wouldn't have been. But if the orphans wouldn't be able to learn, the entire Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. Is it possible to say such a thing? And Shmuel Volkin answered an unbelievable idea. Orphans who don't have money, they don't have a father to support them. Who are they supported by? The Tzedakah Fund. They're supported by charity. Now, when you're being supported by Tzedakah, then you can't expect any luxuries. The Tzedakah gives you exactly what you need to the best of their ability. They provide you with a home. They'll give you food, water, but beyond that, you can't exactly expect them to give you dessert, to give you the extras. The message which Yehoshua ben Gamla was showing the entire Jewish people was that he said it's impossible for us to have a situation where those who are being supported by charity aren't learning Torah. Torah is not an extra. Just like they need food, they need water, they need a place to sleep, they need Torah. Torah is a basic necessity to live. It's not just a nice thing, an add-on. This is the bread and water of a Yid. Were it not for this message being ingrained in all of Klal Yisrael by Yehoshua ben Gamla, by instituting this whole new system as a result of the people who are being supported by tzedakah, he was sending a message out to everybody that for Torah to survive, we need to understand that Torah is not an extra. And that's exactly what Hillel in this mission is telling us, that somebody who's not learning the Torah which he's supposed to be learning in the time that he can, he's separating himself from what is real life. And Mishnah ends off with the shtamish petago cholof. One who uses the crown of Torah, he uses his knowledge of Torah for his own honor, just to increase his own glory, cholof, literally means he will be switched, meaning his time in this world will come to an end for using the Torah for himself. Mishnah Yudalad, Hua Yoimer, Hillel would say, a very famous few words, Meina Nili Mili. If I'm not going to be for myself, if I'm not going to worry about my own growth and fulfilling my potential in the way that only I can do, then no one else can help me. At the end of the day, after all of the inspiration coming from outside of myself and anything which anybody else could ever possibly do, at the end of the day, it takes that decision, it takes that effort from me myself to grow, and that is the only way that it's possible. However, that having been said, if I am only for myself, if all I'm concentrating all day is on working on my own growth, then what am I? And I want to read out what the Bartanura says on these words. When he explains the Mishnah, he says, even if I merited and I grew myself, what is this merit? And of what significance is it? Is corresponding to that which I'm obligated to do. The Baitunura is drawing our attention to something which we possibly wouldn't have thought at first glance, and that is that when we do things for others and we increase their growth, and we try to help them in their spiritual pursuits, that's not just a nice thing to do, it's an obligation. It's learned from Pesukim. People who don't care about other people's closeness and connection to the Torah, such a person is cursed. That's what the Pesukim say. And if we focus on the positive side, the Chovetz Halevav says that if somebody were to even reach the level of the Nevi'im, of the prophets, in terms of his own spiritual growth and connection to Hashem, that doesn't compare, says the Chovetz Halevav, to somebody who brings merit to the public and helps in their growth. The logic being that at the end of the day, you're one person. But if you're working to help others and to bring them closer to Hashem, so you're just increasing the numbers. There's so much more merit out there from helping other people grow. Even though, of course, in order to do that, one oneself needs to be as great as he can be. And that way, he'll be able to influence others on a much greater level. All right, and ends off Hillel, v'im loy achshov. And if I don't do this now, if I don't start achieving and growing and making that decision to really put in the effort into my Avodas Hashem, becoming close to Hashem, and then Amosai, when is it going to happen? There'll always be another excuse to procrastinate and to say I'll do it later in the next stage of my life. That's when I'll start making this decision to really start growing and putting my all into it. But there'll always be that next stage. And so Hillel says, Achshav, if you don't do it now, then Amosai, when exactly are you going to do it? Mishnah Tesvov, Shammai Omer, Shammai says, the first thing is make your Torah fixed. And it's interesting, there's really two opposite ways to interpret Shammai's statement over here. Some explain it to mean that you need to have kvias itim la Torah, fixed times for learning Torah. Regardless of how long in the day you learn Torah, there is an idea that one is supposed to have a fixed time each day where that time is always spent learning Torah, come what may. During that time which he fixes in the day, doesn't have to be for long, but during that time, every single day, he always spends that time learning Torah. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is quite the opposite. That make your Torah so fixed that it's no longer a matter of, I'll do it at this time or at this time. But that's my whole life. Whenever I have a spare moment, I'm opening a sefer to learn. I'm trying to gain another insight into another area of Torah, whatever it may be. So those are the two main interpretations of Shammai's statement over here. Secondly, Emor ma'at v'aseh harbeh, say a little but do a lot. Just like Avraham Avinu told the three malachim, the three angels, that I'll get you some bread. And then he came back with the whole lavish meal of meat and tongue. And that's really the opposite of Ephraim, who, when he sold Ma'arsamach Pela, the burial site of Sarah and others, when he sold that to Avraham Avinu, so he said to him, yeah, I'll sell it to you for nothing. But then what did he end up doing? He ended up selling it to him for a very large price. So that is the opposite of Avraham Avinu's middah of saying a little but doing a lot. And finally, says Shammai, they have him a kabbalah, kala adam, but save upon me your face. And you should greet everybody with a pleasant, joyous face. In the same way as Hillel spoke both about Torah and about Midos, about increasing the peace among people, Shammai did the same thing. Just Hillel started by talking about the peace, and then he went on to talking about Torah and bringing people closer to the Torah, after starting to be nice to them already. Whereas Shammai held that the preferable approach was to first try and bring them into the world of Torah, and then to show them the greatest love possible.